Bring you greetings in Jesus' name this morning. There's a blessing that goes with worshiping, going to a strange church far away and worshiping with strangers, but worshiping the same God. But there's a blessing coming to a place where we don't normally come, where there's many friends and people we do know well. And enjoyed being here this morning and worshiping with you. Trust that our worship will continue to the same God we've been hearing about all morning. Appreciate the devotions and the challenge, what that new heart does for us, and it's what we need. This morning is Mother's Day. I'd like to think a little bit along that subject, that line of thought. The title of the message this morning would be Inspiration from the Life of Hannah, the story of Hannah in the Old Testament. One, a person of great faith who lived in not very ideal circumstances, difficult situation. And I think there's much inspiration we can get from that. Just start with a little story or parable here, a little parable for mothers. The young mother set her foot on the path of life. Is the way long, she asked. And her guide said, yes, and the way is hard. And you will be old before you reach the end of it, but the end will be better than the beginning. The young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than those years. So she played with her children and gathered flowers for them along the way, and bathed them in the clear streams, and the sun shone on them, and life was good. And the young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. The night came and storm, and the path was dark, and the children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, O mother, we are not afraid, for you are near, and no harm can come. And the mother said, this is better than the brightness of day, for I have taught my children courage. And the morning came, and there was a hill ahead, and the children climbed and grew weary, and the mother was weary. But at all times she said to the children, a little patience, and we are there. So the children climbed. And when they reached the top, they said, we could not have done it without you, mother. And the mother, when she lay down that night, looked at the stars and said, this is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage. Today I have given them strength. And the next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. And the children groped and stumbled. And mother said, look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory. And it guided them and brought them beyond the darkness. And that night, the mother said, this is the best day of all, for I've shown my children God. And the days went on, and the weeks and months and the years, and mother grew old, and she was little and bent. But her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. And when the way was hard, they helped their mother. And when the way was rough, they lifted her. And it goes on, and I'm going to break out there, but they basically said, we can not see her. After a while, she was gone. They could not see her, but a mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. I know not all situations work out exactly like that, but I believe that's the way that God designed motherhood to be, in a sense. And there's many ways that you could probably bring picture many of those thoughts in that parable. The influence of a mother is powerful and influential force in the lives of her children. Hannah was a godly mother. We're going to look at her account this morning. You can turn to 1 Samuel 1. The goal this morning is to encourage mothers in their God-given role, to help us all to understand and appreciate what our mothers do for us. And it really serves as helpful to all of us to serve faithfully in the midst of difficulty. There's many ways, many things in this that can inspire all of us as we go from day to day. I guess, again, the thing that stands out to me about Hannah is that she was a godly mother in a very imperfect situation. I'm just going to read at this point 1 Samuel 1, the chapter and into verse chapter 2 a bit. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Imzophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zeph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken, and put away thy wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Just break off there. I mean, this is Hannah's prayer, but it's also known as Hannah's song. and it's just her praise to God for what he had done in her life. Verse 2. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren have borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. We'll stop there. That's an interesting story. In the period of Israel's history there, where things were kind of dark, period of the prophets, where the Bible says people did what was right in their own eyes, and yet there was worship happening at the temple, and there was prophets there. There was faithful people serving. Elkanah was one of those faithful, I believe, in the midst of much decay and much apostasy, much turning away. Even the temple worship was very corrupt. And yet Elkanah was a man who was faithful in going there and leading his family, as we understand it. He had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. It would seem that Elkanah, well, we understand that Elkanah says he was from the from Ramoth in Zophim, which we would understand would be from Ramah, was one of the cities given to the Levites. The Levites, as they were given place in the new land in Israel, they were spread among the 12 tribes, but they were each given a place. They were given cities within those tribes for them to dwell, and Ramah was one of the cities given to the Levites. The sons of Aaron specifically were the priests, but the rest of the tribe of Levi served as caretakers of the house of God. And so his family, Elkanah's family, was not foreign to the house of God. They served, probably took their turns, depending how many there were, how soon their turn came around. They took their turns taking care of the house of God. 1 Chronicles 6:26-35 traces the lineage of the Levites and includes Elkanah and Samuel in it. So he was part of the Levite tribe. But this man had two wives. It says it was her adversary was troubling her, but then it uses the word she troubled her, so we would understand. And it seems that it was the two wives in conflict between each other. And we don't know. We could suppose possibly, according to Israeli tradition, we would understand that Hannah was probably his first wife. Peninnah was taken later. We don't know. Maybe she was taken because Hannah didn't have children. We don't know that. You could suppose that. But having children, as we know, was very important in those days. You could look at several different illustrations. A barren woman was very despised. Rachel, when Rachel didn't have children to Jacob, she despaired of life. She was ready to give up. But it was a sign of God's blessing to have children. And it's interesting the way this passage says that God had shut her womb, and the way she looked to God to have children. And obviously, this was an ongoing conflict and appeared to get worse. And in that context, Hananiah could have been saying to Hannah, you know, that I have been blessed of God and you have not been. What kind of blessing do you receive of God? What kind of blessing has God given to you? And it was something that grieved her sore, that she could not forget, and went on for a long period of time. We clearly understand that from this scripture, and was a grievous sore to her. We notice the way that Elkanah, when he went up to the temple, he gave a portion to each of his wives and to Penaniah's children. He tried to make up for it. He tried to be a loving husband by giving her a double portion, but that did not console her. That did not seem to make up for it. It's probably represented public humiliation. Their gifts they were given. I'm not sure exactly what was involved with that. But it seemed to be somewhat public humiliation, and in some ways just made it more obvious that she was barren and that her other husband's other wife was blessed, that she was blessed in many ways. It was a situation that was totally outside of her control. It represented public humiliation, and she was constantly reminded of it by one who is blessed with children. And verse 7, it happened year after year. Could have made her loath to go to the house of God. Could have made her not want to go out in public, not want to go to such a public place where she was going to be humiliated again. But she went anyway. However, and this, I don't know if I can clearly say, and she went up to the house once a year. There was yearly feasts. Maybe some of you would be clearer on that than I am if this was a particular feast, but it says they went up and after they had, verse 9, after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk, it seems like maybe it was a feast. There was normally a festival and very enjoyable and festive time to go to the house of God, the yearly thing, and worship him and sacrifice. But in the midst of that, she didn't have any appetite. She lost her appetite, and she was very troubled by this. And after not being able to join into those festivities, verse 10, she was in bitterness, and she went and she prayed and wept sore. And it was very, very grievous to her. And even in the midst of that, her pouring her heart out to God, her prayer to God, she was misunderstood yet further by the priest, by the one who was there to help and to represent God. He misunderstood her and accused her falsely of being drunken. But she answered kindly, she answered nicely, and she answered him respectfully and explained her situation, and Eli blessed her. So the woman went away. I guess I don't have a lot of points written out exactly of inspiration we can get here, but the one is how desperate her situation was and how difficult a situation she was in. And this life is always has its troubles. Many times in this in America, we think of our lives being blessed in many ways, and I think they really are. And I don't think we know what tribulation many people who have gone before us have faced. But we still have difficult situations, and we still have difficulties that appear huge to us. And we have a difficult time working through. And so I think we can identify with this, and I think this is very applicable in our day and age. But she didn't neglect to worship. She was faithful in coming. and meeting God and pouring out her heart to God in prayer. And I think that can be a lesson to all of us, that she was willing and trusted God to pour out her heart like that and to take it all to him in prayer. But she's a woman of tremendous faith. When she poured out her heart to God like that, and Eli answered her and said and blessed her, and verse 17, and Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." She hung on those words, and her faith in God was something that she could wrap her mind around, that she could grasp, and that she took from there. And it changed her life, changed her outlook. She went out from there, and her countenance was no more sad. She went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Made a tremendous, really changed her outlook as she went back home. And we know God had a change for her, but she didn't know that then. She didn't have that fulfilled then yet. All she had was a promise. All she had was her faith in God. And she counted on that, and that made a difference in her life. First Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We see her doing that faithfully. Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we see a very vivid illustration of that in her life. There is the peace of God took a hold of her, and she followed that and took that home with her. It doesn't say whether her adversary tormented her further from that point on. I wouldn't have any reason to believe that that stopped. But it didn't bother her like it had before. It didn't affect her. And she was able to overcome that and to go on from there. Another thing that is outstanding in her prayer was that this is the first time that the term the Lord of hosts is used in the Bible. I guess I would see that as pointing to her faith in God. The Lord is used a lot, the Lord, King, the one who is in charge, the one who is ruler overall, but the Lord of hosts, has the idea of an army or a group of men, hosts of angels, the hosts of heavenly hosts. The Lord of hosts, the Lord who is in charge of all, the Lord who is in charge of everything that goes on in heaven and earth. That's who she was praying to. That's who she was taking her petition to, the Lord who had control of all and was in charge of all the everything that happened. I think we marvel at her view of God in that, and her understanding that God was in control. In verse 3, they went to worship the Lord of hosts. Verse 11, she prayed to the Lord of hosts. It's used a number of times there. Next, the word Samuel, the name Samuel, comes from the Hebrew word Shem, or El. And, well, it has to do with the idea of either the name of God or God has been heard. It has to do with God and his name, or hearing his name. God has heard us. It has those thoughts in it. And so we see that Samuel was clearly, and she gives God credit later on, being an answer to prayer, but she sees God in her son, in the name Samuel. Verse 22, I don't fully understand why she stayed home there till he was weaned, till she was ready to bring her son. But it seems she was fully committed. She sensed her responsibility to prepare the child for service to God. And she put herself fully into that. Some way her life was wrapped up in preparing this son to come and to serve God at God's house. Verse 27 is the outstanding words we think of different times. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Literally, she had prayed for this child, and she sensed that. She viewed her son as someone that she had prayed for, and God had answered her prayer. And she remembered that as he grew. It's one thing to pray for a child before they're born, and to remember that as they grow up, all the different things that you do for menial things that you do as a mother, to see that as someone who God has given. God's answer to her prayer. As she had prepared the child, she had sought and followed God's will. She was giving God the glory for his life. Chapter 2 there, we said that was Hannah's prayer and song. We get a lot of inspiration from it, but I think it was inspiring to many, many people down through the years. Psalm 113 has some resemblances to it. And also Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she found out she was having a child, she offered similar praise. And there's some resemblances to this also there. You can imagine that many people down through the years found inspiration from these words. And we could dig into that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But God had blessed her with her child. She poured out her heart and her being into that child. At a very tender age, she was ready to release him back to God. Most would seem to think he was around 3 years old when he went back to the temple. I don't know. Studying, I saw different ages, maybe from 2 to 5. But it seems most people think he was probably 2 to 3 years old, not very young. Very young. And to find out as I go through life what it's like to release your children. We put a lot of our prayers and toil into children. And as they grow, it can be a challenge. But part of the inspiration we get from Hannah is that she was raising him for a purpose. She was raising him for a purpose to serve God, to serve in God's temple. And so when the time came to give him up, that helped her face that. That helped her release him and give him up to God's temple, I believe. I believe it was still very difficult. I believe she thought of him many, many, many times as he served there. But it's inspiring to see that she put her life into that and helped him and raised him with the intention to serve in God's temple. Mother's heart is always for a child. You can picture her as she was getting ready for the annual trip back to the temple each year, getting that new coat prepared. Wonder how many people she asked how much they thought he had grown in the year past and whether the new coat would fit him. And I believe she put a lot of time and attention into that, anticipation into that. Took that coat back to him each year. Hannah, an inspiration for us in faithfulness in the circumstances she found herself in, even though they were much less than ideal, and yet her faith in God served her well in that. Another little poem or parable, a wise and an unwise mother. A mother sat by a hearthside place, reading the Bible with a pleasant face, till a child came up with a childish frown and pushed the Bible, saying, "Put it down." Then the mother, slapping his curly head, said, "Troublesome child, go off to bed. The words of the Bible I must know to train you up as a child should go." And the child went off to bed to cry and hated religion by and by. Another mother, perusing the book, with a smile of joy and an intent look, till a child came up and jogged her knee and said of the book, "Put it down, take me." Then the mother sighed as she stroked his head, saying softly, "I never shall get it read, but I'll try by loving to do God's will and his love into my child instill." That child went to bed without a sigh and loved the Lord by and by. Just a challenge for us to live out the Bible teachings, Bible in our lives, and help our children to love it. And that's a mother's challenge and what we want to do. 2 Timothy 3:13, speak of Timothy's mother, "that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." He had a mother who helped him to understand the scriptures and taught him to love them and to live them in his own life. In conclusion, mothers are a special creation. Came across an illustration. One mother who had 13 children was asked, "Which of your 13 children do you love the most?" She replied, "The one who is sick until he gets well, and the one who is away until he gets home." You can picture that, many of us. And as godly parents, it's what we want to do. Hannah filled a very special place in God's kingdom. You know, would have the child Samuel grown up if he wouldn't have had Hannah as his mother? Would have he grown up to fill the place that God wanted? Would have he filled up to be the prophet, to serve there, to rise above Eli, to take over and to, he anointed King Saul and King David. Would have he been in a place to do that if his mother would not have taken her place? We find mothers to be very influential and very important in our lives. She wasn't out in front, and she wasn't nearly as well known as her son Samuel. And yet, I believe he could attribute much of his success to a godly mother. She filled her place by finding God's will and resting in him in deep faith. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.